The ceasefire between the United States and Iran had a tangible, albeit brief, positive impact on consumers' wallets. U.S. inflation plunged to 3.5% in June, down from 4.2% in May. But with the resumption of hostilities, oil prices have jumped again, throwing uncertainty back into the global economic outlook. Among our other stories today, there are more French speakers living in Africa now than in Europe, and they are reshaping the language. The cultural exchange moves the other way, too. In Nigeria, a network of volunteers that picks up trash while jogging, the Swedish concept of plogging, has the goal of working itself out of a job. And in Venezuela, a black and white border collie named Tsunami has become one of the most recognizable faces of the earthquake response. It's Wednesday, July 15th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Two Supreme Court justices spoke at a Capitol Hill hearing on Tuesday. Elena Kagan and Amy Coney Barrett fielded questions about the court's annual budget request. With threats against federal judges increasing, bolstered security funding was a main talking point. Justice Barrett recounted having to explain to her son why she had brought a bulletproof vest home from work. The justices also answered several questions about the rising volume of unsigned emergency orders the court has been issuing on its shadow docket, which are often delivered after minimal briefing. Justice Kagan said the justices have gotten more experienced in recognizing when more briefing is needed around those orders. Hungary's parliament voted to remove the country's president. It passed a constitutional amendment aimed at restoring what Prime Minister Péter Magyar's government calls a rule-of-law democracy. The package includes judicial reforms and paves the way for the ouster of the president. It also introduces parliamentary term limits and establishes an anti-corruption office. This comes just months after the ouster of Viktor Orban, whose authoritarian style made him an infamous example of illiberal democracy and put him at odds with the European Union. Also, the T-Rex is once again the apex predator of auctioned fossils. Sotheby's recently sold a Tyrannosaurus rex fossil for a record-breaking $50.13 million to a private collector. The 67-million-year-old skeleton, nicknamed Gus, stands over 12 feet tall and was unearthed during an excavation process in South Dakota from 2021 to 2023. The fossil is now considered lost to science to many paleontologists, because research on private collections cannot be published. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. A U.S.-Iran deal in mid-June caused oil prices and inflation rates to plunge globally. What happens next depends on the antagonists vying over the strategic Strait of Hormuz. Laurent Belsey reports for the Monitor. Senator Mitch McConnell's absence from the Senate, unexplained for nearly a month, prompted speculation on what had happened to him. His ongoing recovery could keep him away at a time Republicans need all the votes they can get. Scott Baldoff reports from Washington for the Monitor. In the past decade, Africa has overtaken Europe as the region with the largest number of French speakers. But the transformation is not just geographic. The language itself reflects the continent's growing influence. Colette Davidson and contributor Alban Ade report from Paris and Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire for the Monitor. The group Plogging Nigeria has helped collect more than 50 metric tons of recyclables in the country, which its founder acknowledges is a small figure compared with the scale of the problem. But he is hopeful that one day there will be no need for ploggers, as the group's volunteers are known. Contributor Katie Okori reports from Lagos, Nigeria for the Monitor. As the death toll from Venezuela's powerful earthquakes reaches nearly 4,500 people, a black-and-white rescue dog named Tsunami has become a symbol of promise. His handler hopes more dogs like him can be trained ahead of any future disasters. Contributor Tibisai Zaya reports from Caracas, Venezuela for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on supporting a stable and sovereign Iraq. The meeting between Iraqi Prime Minister Ali al-Zaidi and U.S. President Donald Trump on Tuesday underscores the Mideast nation's strategic importance to Washington. Home to 48 million people and the world's fifth largest oil reserves, Iraq shares a nearly 1,000-mile border with Iran and has a complicated political and security structure influenced by Iran-backed militias and factions. Beyond the geopolitical complexities, the White House meeting also spotlights Iraqi society's notable, if still fragile, progress toward normalization after years of armed and political division. Rarely does a nation emerge from decades of dictatorship, foreign intervention, insurgency, terrorism, civil war, corruption, and external interference with a genuine opportunity to redefine its future, according to retired U.S. Army General David Petraeus, who led the 2003 airborne assault on Baghdad and commanded coalition forces in Iraq from 2007 to 2008. Iraq may have reached such a moment, and the United States can help, he wrote in the Washington Post on Monday. It's been only 9 years since an American-led coalition of Iraqi soldiers and local militias ousted the extremist Islamic State from its stronghold in the country's northwest. Today, in the same city where the Islamic State banned literary, arts, and sports activities, residents of Mosul participate in book clubs and cultural associations. Iraq's capital, Baghdad, boasts a skate park as well as the American University of Iraq, itself partially funded by an Iraqi businessman, which graduated its first MBA cohort in May. The changes have come about amid political wrangling and protests, as well as economic constraints and corruption. And ordinary Iraqis, especially the younger generation, have played a role, displaying a civic and enterprising streak that prioritizes self-employment and community-based activism. Young Iraqis are taking the initiative and acting as forces for change in their communities, according to a 2024 report from Chatham House, a London-based think tank. Unwilling to accept the status quo, they are pushing boundaries to influence constructive change and are raising awareness and inspiring others to join them. I don't want to rely on a precarious system where salaries are inconsistent, productivity is low, and personal growth is stifled, one young woman told the report's author. I aspire to achieve more for myself and my community. Mr. al-Zaidi appears to recognize that his government needs U.S. and regional support to help fulfill citizens' aspirations. A political neophyte, but an experienced businessman, he has already signed multiple government contracts with American energy companies in his first 2 months in office. And in June, he launched an anti-corruption drive that arrested nearly 50 officials and reportedly seized $100 million in cash and assets. A sovereign and stable Iraq, free of Iranian and extremist influence, could serve as a secure and reliable overland trade corridor linking Gulf states, through Syria and Turkey to the west. Now, as Mr. Petraeus said of Iraq, the U.S. and its Gulf allies might have reached a pivotal moment too, a time to practically demonstrate their commitment to Iraqis' future success. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how learning of our eternal and unchangeable spiritual individuality brings comfort even in the face of loss. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Mackenzie Farkas, Kalena Anakwa, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.